Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 259 for April 6, 2020. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we will be discussing the 341st weekly report. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at this yet, just go to timingresearch.com/reports. And you can get access to the web or PDF version there. Today I have arranged for Neil Batho and Jim, the option professor, to be here, and Jim will be moderating, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thanks a lot, and welcome everybody here to a nice Monday. And of course, it's a very big snapback Monday, a huge move to the upside in all the indexes, and quite a few individual stocks, of course, as well. And it seems like everything's got a green light on it today, so very good for everybody who's long the market. Today, Neil Batho is going to give us a little bit of insight on what he's looking at and what he's doing down at his company. And for the people who are not familiar with Neil, newcomers here. Neil's going to give a quick background now and a little bit about what he's doing down at the firm. Neil?
Oh, he looks like he must have gotten kicked out of the room.
So. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you want to just go ahead and...
Yeah,
and,
we can talk about what's going on right now in the marketplace. Obviously, the S&P's had a big move today, as well as the other indexes. Just to give you an idea, you know, we're up trying to press near that throwback rally that we had, where we went from 2175 up to like 2640 or something like that. And so it's up there pressing that neighborhood, which was a 38.2% throwback rally from the drop. So it's a kind of a key area that we're running into now. Thankfully, the news coming out of the virus news improved over the weekend to some degree. And obviously, that gave everyone a pretty good idea that they could come back in and reposition their stock portfolios a little bit. And that's what's been happening here. It'll be very interesting to see if it can take out this 2650 neighborhood on the S&P. And if it can, obviously that opens the door to some higher levels. Technically, just wanted to share with you a couple that I've watched. 50% retracement is in that 2790 area. And we did break down from 2850. So the next neighborhood up, in my view, would be the 2790, 2850 area to maybe see some resistance. And again, it does seem like they have lifted the fog over many different sectors, because we all know the airlines have had a very difficult time, and United Airlines is up over 5% today. So that's quite a good bounce. And then basically some of the other ones in the transport, in the travel industry have also had a good bounce. Marriott Hotels today is better by 17%. So obviously people are changing their tune or covering their shorts or speculating a little bit of algo trading to the upside. But travel and flight certainly are catching a bid, and they're getting a very, very big bounce today. Again, what you have to be careful of sometimes is that sometimes a bounce is just that, a bounce, and then it could go into the fade mode. That's why this 2650 area on the S&P is kind of important to monitor. Give you an idea, Marriott Hotels went from 153 down to about 46, so that lost two-thirds of its value. So when you lose two-thirds of your value, obviously that's a lot of selling, and when that selling is exhausted and then people get some good news and want to buy, there's not a whole lot of sellers left, right? So that's called an order imbalance. And that's what you're seeing a bit today, where you have a bunch of people wanting to come in, and all the selling that was going to be happening in the short term has been done, and ergo, anybody who is selling now is raising the offer price as high as possible, because obviously they don't want to give away the prices at a low level when they can see the order flow is coming in so heavily on the buy side. So again, it does seem like short covering as well as repositioning. Repositioning, just to give you an idea, is if you're in a 60-40 portfolio where it's supposed to be 60 bonds and 40 cash, and then all of a sudden, because bonds went way up in value because interest rates dropped and stocks go way down in value because they tanked, that 60-40 might look more like 45-55, and that's not the way it's supposed to look. So obviously, to get it back in balance and to be in compliance with the ETF or the fund, which is supposed to be 60-40, they've got to sell bonds out, and that's why you'll see TLT today, which is a bond proxy for the 20-year note. That is down sharply today. Well, not sharply, but it's down 59 points. It was down more. It was down to 166. But that's selling in the fixed income area, and then they're rotating it into the stocks to get the balance back to 60-40. And that's one of the reasons we saw a pretty good rally at the end of March, because that's a quarterly rebalancing. And I'm sure there's some of that going on here today as well. With with regards to, is Neil back in the fold, or is he still disconnected?
Not yet, no.
All right, you'll notify, you'll tell me when he's back on?
I'll let you know.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, so anyway, that's, you know, people are going, why is it rallying? Well, you know, think of your common sense here. They got some good news on the virus as far as a number of deaths are concerned, and I don't know about the cases, but there was some reasonable news. And then, of course, some of the major firms have been indicating that it is a time to re-enter the market and that the lows might be in. So there's a lot of people that came out or had sideline cash and they're deploying it. And then again, who's selling? Well, you know, again, most of the panic selling and forced selling and deleveraging. Deleveraging means that people who are on margin are getting wiped out and they have to sell to meet the margin. So obviously all of that kind of stuff has been done in the short term quite a bit. So that creates a bit of a vacuum on the sell side. And then when the buying comes in and the selling has dried up, obviously the order imbalance favors the snapback rally. That's pretty much what we're seeing here today. Fundamentally, obviously, it's pretty dodgy to say the fundamentals have changed because we have no idea what this week's going to show as far as unemployment numbers. Janet Yellen was on TV today thinking that the unemployment rate is already at 12 or 13% and possibly is going to rise. And she was indicating her opinion on GDP dropping like 30% or 25% or more. And of course, that would have an effect on earnings, which is going to start coming out as well. So again, we'd all like to dismiss the numbers that are coming out as temporary. And maybe in fact, that's the way it'll be. But if in fact, it's not temporary, and it is more of a U-shaped or L-shaped recovery, then maybe stocks are not totally out of the woods. And that's why, you know, people are talking about staging in if you're going to come back into stocks and save some powder just in case the market gets spooked when these earnings are actually announced, when these GDPs are actually announced, when these unemployment rates are actually announced, when and if the CARES program that just came out and the disaster and paycheck protection program that just came out, maybe it doesn't work as fluid as we hope. And so these are some of the things down the road that could change the music from today's music to a little bit more moderate. The other thing is a Main Street lending program, which is anticipated, may be more difficult to implement. And as far as the Fed is concerned, they've done a very big job on investment grade. They did a very big job on munis and mortgages and a commercial paper, but they seem to not be interested in the high yield. And there is an awful lot of money in high yield. And if you look at the triple B rated debt, they're already trading a lot of that like it is high yield. So they're front running, shall we say, the S&P and Moody people who will more than likely be doing some downgrading in the triple B space. And they're already repricing those to much higher yields in the double digit range. And then of course, it could, and of course, you know, funds that know that they are holding things that could get downgraded, they're probably obviously trying to sell some of that triple B because they have to stay in compliance with investment grade only in some of the ETFs and some of the bond funds. So there's a lot of, this is all rebalancing, right? It's all rebalancing and repositioning. And that causes a lot of volatility when it's done at a very major level. Crude oil, you know, had a big run up because of supposedly that there's going to be a deal. And basically, it's been delayed on the OPEC report out till Thursday. So that wasn't very well received. We've gone from the 29 area down about 26.54 in the last week. But that was a big move. We went from 19.20 up to 30 almost. And then basically, you're looking at that being a 50% move, biggest move since 1986. And then again, we did hit 29.5, something like that. And then basically, it's popped down about 10% off of that 50% jump that it had. Again, it'd be very key to see what happens between Russia and Saudi Arabia to see if, in fact, there's going to be any change. But the supplies are certainly very, very high. That has helped some of the oil stocks. A couple that I watch, of course, Exxon dropped down to as low as, I think, 30. Yeah, got to 30. Now it's at 40. There's 33% jump on that. And their dividend is at 869 or in that area. Be interesting to see if they'll hold on to that. And then you've got Chevron, another big one. And that is hit a low of 50 and it went to 77 now. So that's over a 50% jump in Exxon, in Chevron. And Chevron seems to be trying to hold on and pay their dividend, but only time will tell. Janet Yellen was indicated that she is more of a believer in her opinion that the banks should obviously not do buybacks and also not be paying these dividends because they may need cash in the short run. They don't know. And of course, cash that's being paid out for dividend could obviously be retained and used for other purposes in the short run, and then you could come back later down the road and pay dividends. Despite that, we're getting a good bounce in most of the bank stocks. You've got Bank of America up about 5% today, and you've got JP Morgan, who has said they're going to try to keep that dividend going. That's up 6% today, and so some of the banks are definitely getting a jump. Some of the laggards, like Wells Fargo, has been a laggard a bit. Let's see how they're doing. And Wells Fargo today is getting a bit. It's up over 7%, and its dividends over 7% as well. So if they're going to honor those dividends, those are pretty juicy dividends. If they're going to not cut them or pay or not, or they're going to pay them. Some of the tech area, like Nvidia, pretty much one of the more popular semis, right? It's up almost 8% today at 263. And looking at some of the other tech-oriented ones, to give you an idea here, we have got, well, let's look at Baba, see what China's doing. China had a big thing where everyone is back looking at the Great Wall, although they're all masked. It's kind of giving indication that China is trying to get back to normal. So they showed some pictures of the Great Wall, you know, the tourist sites over there. And they were packed with people, you know, stuffed in there like sardines, albeit they had some masks on. But Baba, again, went down to 150, and it's back on the bicycle here at 196 today, up almost 5%. So there's a little bit of a China thing going on there. Other things happening out there on the tech side, let's look at Qualcomm. These are some of the guys that are going to try to get into the 5G, obviously, and the other things coming down the pike as far as technology. And that's up 7% today at $69.89. Its low was $55, and it's bounced now up towards 70. So Qualcomm's back going. Amazon was up, but I don't think it was up quite as much as the rest. Amazon obviously has the bad news with the people protesting. It's up 3.5%. Not too bad, but certainly not in the same league with some of the other semis. And then the big one, Advanced Micro Devices, which every time I look at the volume, it always intrigues me how much it trades every day. Today, it's already traded 46 million shares, and it's up 8.5. So 46.21. So certainly, there's a definite semi on trade going on here with the SMH, which is the ETF. That's up a full 8% right now as well. What a gap, though! It gapped from 112 up to almost 118, and now it's up there. So again, the only caution I would throw on the on the party right here is that you're into some resistance in the 2650 area on the S&P. You've got some huge gaps up with some pretty significant moves, and that if more sobering news does come out, maybe the buying that we're seeing, which could be short covering and algo trading and very short-term trading type stuff, may not have legs behind it. So you'd have to be a little cautious here with this type of a gap. And you know, in the last 2 weeks, this is a neighborhood where it has peaked out on SMH right around 122. So again, good rally, no question. And let's take a look around the horn at some other things, because you know, retail, that's been hit so hard, and it's coming back today. But again, it's coming off of an extremely low price. I mean, the XRT used to be 46. It went down to 26. That's like, you know, around half price. And so now it's at 29. So your bounces when you get into a bear down move can be violent, and it can be very big. And but the violence and the big sometimes does peter out. So you have to be somewhat careful to chase rallies if we're in an overall descending market, which temporarily it does seem like we are. Again, real good move there in XRT. You know, some of the bigger name retailers that have been really slammed, like Nordstrom, that used to be 46. It went down to 12. Now it's up 22% today at 16. So again, you know, if you're a believer that retail is coming back, you certainly have got plenty of choices out there to take a look at. Kohl's is another one that totally slammed. Went down to, well, give you an idea, it went from $75 down to 10. Today's up $24 in one day. So, 24% in one day at 2.80. So you're getting some rallies here. Are they dead cat bounces? Only time will tell. Has the whole mood changed and the whole trend changed? Maybe, again, too early to tell. But, you know, if you go in there and you buy things after they've been totally, you know, slammed down, you know, obviously you can get some pretty good gains coming out of that. And this is another example. Macy's cut their dividend, and that really sent sent the stock into the tank. And today, even they are up almost 14%. They went down to $4.38 from 26. You know, they do have real estate. One of them, obviously, is their flagship store on 34th Street in New York that has value. And again, the total market value, it got kicked out of the S&P, I guess, or the Dow, one of them, because of their market cap drop. They're only at about $1.5 billion market cap. And some people have always said that their real estate that they own is quite valuable. So if they ever were liquidated for whatever reason and had to sell their real estate, maybe there'd be some value there. Let's see what else we've got here in another sector. So that was the retail sector. And let's go back into the metals area. Because again, with all of this expansion of money and credit worldwide, you know, some people think inflation may come back. If you look back in history to look at three things, the unemployment rate, the GDP, and inflation, you will notice that sometimes when we have a collapse in the unemployment rate and a collapse in GDP, when it comes out of there and unemployment snaps back, and when GDP snaps back, sometimes it is accompanied with inflation coming back. So anyway, that doesn't look like it's tremendously possible now, but there are some people who believe that. So again, let's take a look at what gold prices are doing today. And they are up sharply, I believe. Yeah, they're up $47 the ounce. And they are coming into that 1700 mark. The high today is 1696. Again, that's been three times banging on the door. If you get through 1700, it'll open up the possibility of going after the all-time high at 1900 and even surpassing that. And again, there does seem to be some momentum behind that. And again, that is possible. You're looking at gold shares at GDX, and GDX today is also having a good day. It's up 5% at 26.12, but it's still well underneath its high of 31.32. And basically that 30 number is one that I've been watching. Now the gold shares, you know, they have debt on them and they have closures and all kinds of different factors than the underlying, just underlying price. But it's always comforting to see the gold shares, you know, pretty much going in the same direction as the metal, so that there's some confirmation that the move may have some legs to it. But again, you can't deny it's having a good day today. Also, another market that got slammed was the silver, and silver prices are also trying to come into play. And silver has moving averages, the 50-day and the 200-day, coming in at 1650. Right now, silver's up 4% at 1512. Would really love to see it get above 1650 and open the door up for 1920 and beyond. But right now, it's in the 15 area. So you got to be a little careful because, again, it got whacked pretty good, went from $19 down to 11 and change. So now it's bounced back up towards 15. Again, is it a dead cat bounce or a trend reversal? Only time will tell. But there is some resistance right above. If it gets above 1650, that'd be very encouraging. One of the ETFs, SILJ, which is the juniors, that was another one that got hit pretty hard. It went from $12 down to $4.84, and now it's trading at $7.14. So you're looking at basically a situation where it's snapping back, but it's certainly, you know, not showing us that it's in some kind of a big bullish uptrend right now. Copper, again, hurt because of demand, hurt because of China economy contracting. And so it went down to about $2 from $3, and now it's at $2.21. One of the big companies in copper is Freeport-McMoRan, and Freeport-McMoRan is basically today having quite a good day, up 13% at $7.18. And again, if you look back in time, this stock used to be substantially higher. In fact, it was in the last 52 weeks, double the price it is today. So it is discounted down. The low's been $4.82. So when you get down to a $4, $5, $6, $7, $3 stock, you're obviously almost buying an option in that it'll never expire unless the company, you know, gets bought out or gets bankrupt. And then, of course, if you hold it long enough, sometimes circumstances change. And then, of course, it could be something that appreciates in value quite a bit. With regards to other things that are happening out there, I would like to give you a little bit of an idea on some of the fixed income area. I already talked about TLT. And again, TLT hit 180 on that big panic that we saw into treasuries when the system was losing its footing before the Fed came in and firmed up money markets and confirmed of commercial paper and started, you know, there was a real problem with the treasury imbalance. People were hoarding dollars and stuff like that. So anyway, the other thing that I've been watching is mortgages. And there's many mortgage things out there. I keep an eye on the Vanguard Mortgage Fund, which is VMBS. That's the ETF. And VMBS today is coming down because obviously, you know, you're seeing a big move into equities and obviously out of bonds. So they'd be taking profits on this and adding to their stocks to rebalance. But this particular ETF does have a pretty good yield currently. And it does have 100% government back, meaning it's either direct government or agency. And so some people, the duration is not too bad. And people are looking at this as a reasonable thing to consider and take a look at. Obviously, you have to know your own circumstances and what's right for you. But again, it is in that sweet spot of the Fed supporting the mortgage area. There's a lot of other debt out there that they're not buying. And I think that's what we really have to be concerned about. If they're not going to buy any high yield or commercial debt or things along those lines, then obviously there's a lot of debt that's still, you know, significantly undersupported, and only time will tell. Them physically buying stock is against the rules. And so either a Congress or some type of a side program or something would have to be created. I believe in Europe and Japan, their central banks are allowed to do a whole lot more than ours are. And I think one reason they're setting up these programs is obviously to try to help out people and stay in compliance with what they are permitted to purchase. Visa is another one that people think would be obviously very much affected by consumers coming back and starting to spend money again. And that's up 9% today at 165. So that's another one. The two ones that have told me over time, you know, where we're at a little bit has been the transportation average and also the small caps called the Russell. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint here on what I'm talking about. On the Dow Jones Transports, you know, this started in 1884. It was actually created by Charles Dow. Some people think it's not appropriate anymore. Today it's up good. You know, it's up 6%. The Dow Jones Transports up 456 points. But, you know, the bigger picture that I was trying to speak to you about is that when we went up and made all that new high above 3,000 towards 3,400 on the S&P, the high on the Transports was actually made in 2018. And it was made about 11,700. And the most we could ever get up to is about 11,300. So we never really took out the high. And then obviously, if you would have used this as a gauge to stay away from stocks because it was not confirmed by the Transports, it would have had you avoid a very, very bad purchase area between 3,000 on the S&P and 3,400. It also kind of led the drop. Once it broke under the 10.8 area, it's been pretty much like spaghetti falling off a plate down to the low of 6,500 ballpark. And that is the same low that we saw in 2016, which was the last time we had a really big scare regarding growth and sovereign debt and things like that. So the bottom line is that it is now showing some support, and that's, of course, positive. And but it also is a good indicator, again, sometimes, that if it's not confirming the move of the S&P, that maybe you should doubt the S&P move. Just my opinion and my passing observation. Russell, same story. Russell made its high back up in 2018, about the same time the Transports. And its high was like 1760. This high here we saw was only 1715. So we never made a new high. And then it rolled over. And then once it broke 1650, it's been pretty much in the soup all the way down to 966. That's a heck of a drop. Now today it's up 6-7%. But the problem with the Russell is that it's mostly small caps, and small caps reinvest their money. They don't pay dividends, and they don't do buybacks, I don't think, as much. So ergo, their money's always put back into their business. What's the problem? Is if you have a contraction like we've had now for 60 days or so, you're looking at companies that may run out of cash because obviously they don't keep that much cash because they're reinvesting in their business. So that's one of the reasons small caps can be a little bit of a rough racket, in that their cash reserves may be pinched, and we are definitely in a pinched area as far as cash flow because obviously obviously the businesses are closed. With regards to some people are saying, though, if you're a believer, the lows are in at 2175, and you're a believer that the market is in the process of doing its turn, that things like consumers, discretionaries, cyclical stocks would be something to keep an eye on and be looking into, as well as your, you know, higher beta areas, like some of the ones that I've mentioned in semiconductors and tech. So growth did not get hit during this drop as much as the other areas. And so because they are so much stronger, some people believe that they will bounce out of here a little bit quicker. Only time will tell. The thing also out there, people do sometimes like the dividend plays because they're looking to get income and stock. Obviously, the risk to dividend plays now is, will companies slash dividends if their cash reserves are at a point where they don't want to take their free credit balance and obviously buy back stocks or pay dividends out? So if you run into a bunch of dividend paying companies and then they slash their dividends, obviously that would not be a good thing. So that's what makes the dividend players a little bit more risky. Some of the larger dividend players, we already went over a couple. They were in the energy area, like Exxon and Mobil, Exxon and Chevron. The other ones sometimes are in the banks, which again, we talked about. And again, the risk there is that maybe a regulator or somebody tells the banks, hey, listen, guys, you know, you need to have the cash on hand. Let's cool it with the dividends, at least temporarily. And if that does come into play, that would probably have a pretty big effect on the banks. Right now, there's no evidence that that is happening. In fact, the tune's being sung by guys like Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan. The tune is actually that they're going to try to keep that dividend. That was the same tune I heard on TV from the gentleman from Chevron. So we'll have to see. But let's talk about another sector that does pay out dividends, and that would be in pharma. Now, one of the big pharma stocks, obviously, is Pfizer. Pfizer's dividend yield right now looks like it's well over 4%. The stock today isn't up very much, 0.76. So maybe that dividend, a drain is keeping people from buying into this company. It did hit a low. It went from 44 down to 27. So that's a pretty good discount on the price. And again, pharma and Pfizer, you know, they are obviously working very hard on the therapeutics and vaccinations and stuff like that on many diseases. So they obviously are in the forefront. But it's kind of interesting that that's not bouncing too much. And it might be because people are concerned how safe that dividend is. Another one is Merck. And on Merck, that dividend's over 3%. But that one's getting a bit of a bid. It's up 3% today at $78.61. Again, that dividend is lower than Pfizer. So that might be a factor. And of course, their pipeline and their situation is obviously not identical. So if they're buying the farmer today, they look like they're coming into Merck. Let's look at Bristol-Myers Squibb, BMY. Bristol-Myers is up 3% as well. So again, but the yield there is only 3% and change. So that's up to 57. Give you an idea of what happened. It went from $68 down to 42, pretty good discount. And now it's back up to 57. It's really not all that far from the high, comparatively. So Bristol-Myers and Merck seem to be the two ones that are getting some action here versus Pfizer. I saw Gilead Sciences were getting hit earlier. Let's see what's going on now. Yeah, they're down 2%. They were as high as $85 recently. Now they're down to 76. I don't know if that's because the news is coming out that the progress they're making against the virus has abated or been replaced by other areas. I know Abbott Labs got great press when they had their testing kit. That's ABT. And they're still going. They're up 2% today, and they've really come off the low. The low is 60. They're at 80. So that's a pretty good pop in just a very short time on Abbott. And of course, they had the test that was very well received. So that was something there. Another company, Amgen, has been getting some reasonable press. It pays 3% and change on the dividend, and it's up about almost 2% today. It was up at 212. Now it's at 209. So there you go with a little bit of the drug area and how dividends could be had there. With regards to other stuff that's going on right now in the home builders, you know, a lot of people were long them and they got whacked very hard. So I'm going to go over a couple of things now. Lennar Homes went from $71 to $25. Now it's up 17% today at $39. The idea here is that money is going to be lent all over town, and that is going to make home prices, home mortgage payments very low, which allows maybe some of the millennials that have I've been trying to get into the housing market to get in. That could be a side benefit from the from the tragedy that we're going through. So Lennar, LEN, snapping back. Lowe's been 25, currently 39. The other one would be Pulte. Give you an idea on just giving you a smattering of some of these, give you examples of what's going on. They're up 14% as well, PHM, and they went from 47 to 17, and they're at 21. So they've bounced a little bit here. And of course, when you fall, you know, throw something off a tall building, it is going to bounce. And 47 to 17 is certainly a tall building. So you're bouncing to 21 right here. Whether it's going to have sustained legs or not, who knows? But certainly there's room when you jump from, when you drop from 47 to 17, there's some room to bounce back. One of the other technical things that I've been trying to have people look at is the moving averages, kind of like the mean. They are way above the market, and that's really what's opening the door to this rally. Meaning what? The VIX got really high to 85, so obviously settling down on the VIX makes some sense. And then basically the moving averages. To give you an idea, Pulte Homes moving average is 36 on the 200-day. The darn thing went down to 17. That's like 100% under the 200-day. That's textbook oversold. So obviously a bounce back up can be in the cards. That's pretty much true. If you want to go to the 200-day moving average on most all the stocks that you either are looking at or own, you'll notice that they are very far away from their 50 and their 200-day averages. You could look at SPX to get the S&P 500, and you could look at a detailed quote on it, and you can see that the 50-day moving average comes in at 2954, and the 200-day is up at 3020. Now, they're inverted to the downside, so by no definition is that a positive relationship. That's called the death cross when the 50 gets under the 200-day. But there's a lot of real estate between 2174, which was where the bottom was, and 2954 and 3020. So that's why I was saying, if you can clear 2650, that could open the door to either the 50% correction area or the place where it dropped from, and that's 2790 and 2850. That's a neighborhood that would be, in my view, the next place it might stop. Or if they really want to get a sharp contrary rally and then maybe have it roll over from a higher level, that 50-day moving average also coincides with a 61.8% correction of the drop. So 2950, 2930, you know, it's not an exact science. So the neighborhood of 2900 to 2950 would be another one that would be of a resistance on this rally. So there could be a lot more legs to it because, again, I'm trying to explain that the market is way, way away from its moving averages. Let's talk some of the bigger stocks that everyone likes to talk about. Microsoft, you know, obviously widely held, and that's up 5% today. But let's look at where the 200-day moving average is, because on Microsoft, it's probably not that far away. Microsoft's 200-day moving average actually is under the price. So that's why, again, some of these companies, people are very confident that when we come out of there, we're going to have the cloud. We're going to have the 5G. We're going to have cybersecurity. So the guys that are involved in that stuff seem to be boding better than the others because, people believe when we go back to somewhat normal, you're going to be looking at more of these companies coming out the other side. 161 is the 50-day moving average, so we're right at 161 area. So this is a neighborhood where we'll have to see if it can get through, and we'll know more by Tuesday. Tomorrow is Tuesday, and sometimes people call it Turnaround Tuesday. So let's see how Tuesday pans out after this big Monday, and see if Turnaround Tuesday exists or if this is too powerful for Turnaround Tuesday. The next one up there is Apple, and Apple is currently in the ballpark of 254. Let's look where its moving averages are, just for the sake of argument here. And again, Microsoft, ton of cash. Apple, ton of cash. These guys have money, so they can weather storms. You're at 250, so we've gotten above the 200-day, but the 50-day is still at 279, 280. So let's see if it can get above that 280 area. I am noticing the volume today is not tremendous. You know, we've been averaging 53 million shares on Apple for the last 50 days, and it's trading to so far today about 24 million. So if we are just having a low volume spike here, that adds more credence to the idea that Turnaround Tuesday could occur, and also 2650 may hold. Doesn't have to happen, but the lighter volume on the rally would suggest that a lot of it might be short covering. Okay, so there you got your Apple, and you got some numbers to chew on. Of course, they've got a big thing coming out with 5G, but there's some concern and trepidation that the more expensive phones they'll be coming out with may not be as well received. Although, you know, you can see from the past, anybody who's doubted Apple has eaten a lot of crow. So bottom line is that's the concern. That doesn't mean it's going to be the reality. Okay, so you got the Microsoft, you got the Apple. Let's go over to Google, see what's going on there. And Google's getting a pop to the upside. Again, up 6.52 today. The low's been 1,000. That's a pretty good line in the sand, actually. It's about 33% drop off of the high. So the high was at 1,532, dropped down to 1,000. That's about a third discount. Pretty good haircut for a company like that. And now let's take a look at the moving averages and see if they give us any insight. Yeah, so you're up at 1,290. This is more like the S&P, where the moving averages are well above the price. They haven't crossed on Google. 1290 is the 50-day and 1261 is the 200-day. The volume on average has been 2.5 million ballpark shares in the last 50 days. And again, we're only at 1.2 today. So again, a little more of a lower volume pop. So let's see what Tuesday brings. But again, the market has a lot of real estate between that 1,000 mark and about 1250 to 1300, which is where these averages come in. So that's why you can't, the bears, obviously, you know, you can't be selling into the abyss and think that you're getting a good deal. You know, when you see the market's down 36% in a month and you see that the volume is going off the roof, you got to say two things to yourself. Everyone who wants to get out is getting out. And now after that happens, if the news even improves a little bit, you're out of sellers because you just wiped everybody out and got everybody out. So obviously a big wave of buying coming in, even if it's only half the normal volume, is not going to be met by a lot of selling. It's going to be met by no selling, and that order imbalance will get you the pop. And that's what's happening today. Okay, so we got Google, and then the last guy up there is Amazon. And, you know, Amazon, obviously, with delivery and all the different ways, and that 150 million subscribers to Prime, wow, that's good money. And so that's why it's hard to get in front of this thing. It's up 3.5% today, up almost $70. The high was 21.85. So, you know, to put it in perspective, year to date, Amazon's up, okay? Because we started the year in the 1800 to 1900 area, and now we're pressing 2000. So, you know, if you bought Amazon at the beginning of the year, you're still up. And it's only a 10% move to make new highs. And so that's pretty good. Let's look at the moving averages and see if they give us any insight. It kind of looks more like Microsoft and Amazon are in the best shape of the three of them, four of them. So what do we got here? We got, look at this. 1912, you're above that. That's the 50-day. And the 200-day is 1845. So basically, the 52-week low is 52-week low has been 1626. So it penetrated on March 16th, the 1845 moving average. But the moving average is essentially rising. And so now you can see that it's right back above it. So Amazon and Microsoft, out of the four, look like they're the best as far as their technical pictures are concerned. Okay, so that gives you an idea on the MAGAs. And that's obviously a big part of what people are looking at. I was looking at a couple of transportation ETFs, IYT, and another one is XTN. So one of them has like the railroads in it and UPS and stuff like that. And this is another one that went from 203 to 116. This is iShares IYT. Now, again, that's a big drop, you know, 203 to 116. You know, we are going to be transporting goods and services again when we come out of this thing. And we're going to be mobilizing people and mobilizing things. So this IYT, again, is trying to turn up. And again, if you believe we're going to come out the other side and need transportation, you know, and if the transportation average is going to bottom and then turn and either form a V, U, or L-shaped recovery, you know, this might be something to put into your think tank because, again, it went down to about half price. The other one, and let's see where the moving averages are on it, just to give you an idea how oversold it is. I tell you, it's at 138 today, and it's had a very nice move today. The 200-day moving average is at 183. And there's a 22.9% short interest. If you can, look at what the short interest is on your ETFs, your stocks, and other things, because that gives you an idea of how much shorting is being done versus, you know, on a percentage basis. And you'll notice some stocks may have 1% short interest, 2%. Now, in this kind of a drop, you're going to have a lot of people with short interest. But when you get to 22, 30, 50, 100, 100%, or not 100%, but, you know, 60%, 30%, any kind of crazy numbers like that, it means that you could see people lift their hedges, and that means they'd have to buy back something. And that creates temporary buying, like we're seeing. I'm sure some of that's happening today, where people have lifted their short positions off, and that obviously, is not a permanent volume, right? In other words, once you lift your shorts off, you might not be buying anymore. You just want to have that short taken off so you can make some money if it goes up. So that's one of the things you can see, is look at the percentage of short interest on whatever you own. Okay, the other one I mentioned was XTN, and XTN is at 42. Now, again, one of these has, you can look at both symbols and then look at what their top 10 holdings are, and you can get an idea of which is which. But one of them is going to have, the railroads in there, like United Union Pacific. It's going to have UPS in there and those kind of guys. And the other one's going to have Uber and other people that are more in the mobilization business. Obviously, one is more aggressive than the other. And this one's up almost 7% today, and that's XTN. So, a lot of people think that Uber and Lyft are going to come out of here looking pretty good from the standpoint of they're going to have some, with an unemployment of 10 million and more, but everybody has a car, that could increase what? The amount of drivers they have out there. And maybe with the more drivers, the revenue would pick up. That would be the concept anyway. And so people are thinking that Uber and Lyft could be a beneficiary of the crisis because of their pool of drivers is going to be much larger. That's an idea. Another virus-oriented thing, let's talk about three of the virus stocks that are kind of popular. One is Teladoc. That's TDOC. All right, on Teladoc, it's down today because obviously people are thinking the virus is getting better. So obviously the things that were bid up through the roof because of the virus are giving it back. And Teladoc happens to be one of them. Stock went from went from $48 on the 52-week low all the way up to $176. So obviously, this is a company that got bid up in a very, very, very big fashion. Again, that's why it's giving back some of its stuff. Give you an idea on the moving averages, and this is why I try to look at them. I'll bet you the moving averages are well underneath the market, and that's one of the reasons it's coming down as well. The moving average is at 85. When you got to 170, you were 100% above the 200-day moving average. That is hardly the place to start buying generally, because that is the poster child of overbought. Now, 124 is the 50-day moving average, and so obviously there's a lot less real estate between today's price around 140, 145, whatever, and 125. So it's coming back to a more reasonable price basis to moving averages. And today's drop is also on lighter volume compared to the 50-day moving average. And again, this is about where you do your healthcare, telephone, and internet, as opposed to going to the doctor's office and finding out, you're sick today, but the next time he can see you is on August 15th. And obviously that people who've been to the doctor and have to go to the doctor know exactly what we're talking about. So that's why Teladoc has become very, and of course with the masks and, we don't want to have cross-contamination, obviously Teladoc went through the roof because the usage was very big. But again, it could be big coming out of this thing. It's just really wringing out a lot of the juice that's in the towel. It's a soaking wet towel that people are squeezing to get some of the juice out of it, right? Some of the water out of it. That doesn't mean the thing's done. It just means that it got way, way overbought and it's giving back some of that over exuberance. Because some people do think the Teladoc has a very good model there for the future of healthcare, or it could be a bigger percentage of healthcare. So keep an eye on it and see what you think. Next one, of course, is Zoom, which every Tom, Dick, and Harry seems to be using here. And that, of course, got hit very hard here today as well. Why? Because the PE ratio is at about 1,500 to 1, which means what? Which means the earnings that the cash flow and everything else that's coming in basis the price seems to be a very, very high valuation. Now, this thing went from $59 to $164, but $164 down to $117 is a pretty good hunk out. So let's take a look at the moving averages and see if it looks like maybe some of the overboughtness has been removed. Okay, I see the 200-day is down at 86. So again, when you went up to 164, you're getting to be 100% above the moving average, and that's high, and that's why it's coming down a bit. Now, the 50-day moving average on it is 106. And this one has pretty good volume, though, 18 million shares today, which is 80% higher than the 50-day moving average, and about four or five times higher than the 200-day moving average. moving average. So this thing's coming down on pretty big volume. So that's why this one, they're pretty much throwing back in the water a little bit. Again, one of the reasons they are is Zoom has competition. And competition obviously can compress prices. And if you compress prices, you compress earnings. And there goes your, you know, the value. But anyway, areas such as 90, areas such as 105, those are the neighborhoods that if you're bullish, you'd like to see it hold technically. And if you wanted to get on board, that would be the neighborhood where you might want to investigate entry with a position if you were a believer that Zoom's going to go zooming back up. All right. One of the things that people are telling me that might survive this virus type of, stocks, in other words, stocks that are benefiting from the virus, like the ones I just mentioned, is Peloton. And let's see here if I can just get the chart on. Yeah, PTON is the symbol. And, you know, you see those people in their nice, fancy New York apartments and they're running crazy against each other. Or sometimes you find celebrities and their wives going against each other. And again, this one's fading back a little bit, but only down 1%. Moving average on Peloton would be 27 and 26 ballpark. They're inverted to the downside, so you'd certainly like to see it stay above 26. If it gets back under 26, that would not be so good. Short interest is 53% of the stock, so you don't have to guess where some of the buying came from 20 to 28. Obviously, some people must have lifted their shorts at some point. But it is a company that was losing money going into this thing, but people tell me that they have a backlog of orders because people are now looking at doing their exercising at home rather than in the germ-infested, warehouses that sometimes gyms look like nowadays where you have, 5,000 members and 5,000 people you don't know what their hygiene was. So anyway, Peloton, is one to keep an eye on, PTON. It's new to the market. It only came out in the fourth quarter of last year. Had a rally up towards 40 almost. Then it lost half its value and now it's back up. But again, overall, it still needs to hold some of these moving averages like 26, 27, and it really has to get above this 30 to 35 neighborhood if it's going to open the door to some really good growth. Right now, people could make a case that it just had a snapback rally because of the virus, and then it may revert to its downtrend. So the jury's still out on Peloton, but it's worth monitoring because, again, if people's exercise habits were to change, these guys might be in the forefront. Let me see. I think we went over quite a bit of information here regarding the different markets and what's going on. Let's take another look here at the indexes and see what's looking. Okay, SPX, again, we're seeing if it can hold this. The high has been around 26.36. So again, this 26.40, 26.50 area is a bit of a key area to keep an eye on, see how that works out. And then on the NASDAQ, that is trading 78.03, up about 5.84, pretty much right near the high right now. Its rebound high was just a little bit higher than here. So again, you're within a shouting distance of this thing. And it does look like a breakaway gap. And sometimes breakaway gaps are filled with runaway gaps, and then they're filled with exhaustion. So if this thing is truly a breakaway gap, which it possibly could be, you can't stand in front of a market with this kind of momentum with where you know that there's sideline cash, and you know there's shorts in there that have to cover or want to cover at some point. And you know that the volume, could get bigger and bigger and rebalancing, again, because of the bond market rallying so high and the stocks dropping so far, selling bonds, adding stock has been going on. So there are some positive factors here, plus the moving averages. Again, to give you an idea on the NASDAQ, I gave you the 2,900 and so on the other, on the S&P. The 200-day moving average on NASDAQ is it's pretty much in the 8,300, 8,500 area. So we're still well underneath that. And then take a look at the third one we keep an eye on, which is the Russell. And I'll give you just a couple of numbers to hang your hat on. What is the 50-day and the 200-day moving average on the Russell? And they are 1421 and 1534. Totally inverted, but well above where we are now. So there's a lot of real estate between here and where the moving averages are. And that's why being bearish down here has caught a lot of people off guard. Again, over the weekend, we jumped up before you even came in, we were up about almost 1,000 Dow points, right? So, you know, if you were short over the weekend, you certainly were scurrying to do something here this morning. And then, again, one last thing on the transportation average. Where are those moving averages? Well, we're at 77.74, okay? And the 200-day moving average and the 50-day moving average are inverted to the downside. Again, that's telling you that the death cross has occurred, so you have to be careful getting too comfortable on the long side when you have, you know, the bigger moving averages turning over. But they're at 92.70 and 10,000. So they're way above where we are. And again, that opens the door for the bear market rally, which is we started today and we gapped up. So is it a breakaway, which will be followed by a runaway and an exhaustion gap? It's possible. If we take out 26.50, the odds of that occurring is going to be very high. So anyway, keep an eye on that, but be aware of Turnaround Tuesday. I'm Jim from The Option Professor. And if you have any questions or you'd like to discuss anything with me, obviously you can send me an email at optionprofessor@gmail.com. That's optionprofessor@gmail.com. And obviously I'm keeping an eye on everything from the stock market to the bond market to the U.S. dollar to crude oil to gold, silver, and copper, as well as agriculture, and basically trying to give a little bit of an observation and opinion. We have a weekly market update. If you'd like to get in the queue and receive it free of charge, again, simply optionprofessor@gmail.com. Okay, guys, we missed out on Neil today. He'll be back again. I tried to fill in and do the best I can to give you an update on things, so I hope I did a decent job. And right now, I'm going to turn it back over to David Cosmeter, and he's going to close us out. And David, back to you.
All right, thanks, Jim. Just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past shows or reports there. And just want to, like Jim said, Neil had some technical issues, so we'll try to have him back soon. And thank you to Jim, the option professor at theoptionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.